May it please the court? I'm Shelley Messerly. I'm here on behalf of the state of Texas. As you know, this is a drug possession case, and the appellant raised really raised one point of error, that the confession was inadmissible, should have been excluded because it was not given voluntarily. She gave two reasons for this. The first reason was that the appellant did not say that he understood his rights when his rights were read to him, that the cop didn't ask him. If you listen to the CD, which I'm sure you probably already have, to his confession, the police officer clearly asked him, do you understand these rights and do you have any questions? And the appellant said no, that he didn't. And he went on to give his confession and answer all of the police officer's questions. So I'm not quite sure why I don't know if there was some confusion there, but the police officer clearly asked the appellant if he understood the rights. And all of the 3822 rights were read to him verbatim. So
I did listen to the CD, and honestly, I heard the police officer ask, but I couldn't understand if the defendant in the underlying case said anything at that point in time. I could not hear him say anything. I heard after that the police officer said, okay, which means, I don't know what, okay what? Maybe he shook his head, maybe whatever, but he went on talking immediately. So
yes. Yeah, I know it was a little garbled. I listened a couple times yesterday as well. The first time I heard it was in August, so I listened to it again twice yesterday. I thought I heard him say, when the officer asked him, do you have any questions, I thought I heard him say no. I'm not sure. That's what I thought I heard. You can certainly listen to it again. But you're right. He did answer all of the officer's questions. And as you recall, when the officer first entered the residence, the statements that the appellant made were the same statements that he made in his statement. I mean, he seemed very anxious to want to talk to this officer. He seemed very anxious to want to convince this officer that he was the only one to blame, that those were his drugs, they were nobody else's drugs. So I think from the totality of the circumstances and just the context of the context that he made the statement, it was really clear that he knew what he was doing. He wanted to make this statement. And another thing that I noticed yesterday when I listened to the confession, if you remember later on in the statement, the police officer was asking him, you know, did you intend to sell these drugs? And he was saying, no, I was going to smoke them all. It was just mine. And then he also says, the appellant says, well, you told me that anything I say can only be used against me, and what I say in my statement can be used against me, right? And that's all I'm going to say. I thought that was even further evidence of the fact that he really did understand what he was doing, and he really did understand his rights, and he understood what the police officer said, because he almost parroted it right back to him. And he just, from his conversation, it seemed that it appeared that he really understood what he was doing and that those statements were going to be used against him. So that was the first reason that the appellant says that the confession was involuntary. If you remember, the second reason she gave is she said that, if you remember during the statement, after the officer read appellant his rights, right after that, the appellant says something to the effect, and this was a little tiny bit garbled for me too, but something to the effect of, why are you recording this, or would you turn the recorder off? I couldn't tell exactly what it was, but it was something to that effect. And the officer says, I can't use a statement in court unless it's recorded or written. I can't use this statement. And I think it's pretty clear from listening to the recording that the officer was referring to this statement, the statement he was taking from the appellant at that very time. And the appellant went on to say, okay, I don't want you to blame anybody else but me. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I also counted yesterday when I was listening to the CD, to his confession, how many times he said, the drugs are mine. And I think he claimed that they were his, during a five-minute confession or recording, seven different times. I think five times he said, I'm the one who hid them in the kitchen cabinet. And I think four times he said, nobody else was involved but me. So I don't see any issue of it being not obtained voluntarily. But the appellant characterizes that answer to the question, you know, I can't use it unless it's recorded or written, as a warning. And the state disagrees. That's not a warning. The cop clearly said when he was actually giving the warnings, he said, these are your warnings. you know, I don't know what he was supposed to do. I mean, he answered the question, you know, honestly. He said, you know, I can't use it unless it's recorded. He didn't deceive him. And I just don't understand how that would render his statement obtained, and you know, how that would make an involuntary statement. I'm not really sure. It is, she does characterize it as a warning, but the state disagrees that it wasn't a warning. It was just simply an answer to a question that did not render that confession involuntary. So is there any questions for me? No? Okay. The state will just stand on its brief, and then we just ask that you affirm the conviction.
Thank you, Ms. Messerly. We appreciate you coming today, and we appreciate your argument.
Thank you, Judge. Thanks. Have a great day.